Andy, what's it like to go into re-entry?
It's interesting. You're just lying there. Well, you're not lying. You're strapped into the seat, but you're still floating in the seat. And then you come into the atmosphere, and gravity doesn't just suddenly hit you. It slowly increases, and so things just start to get heavy. And you know, you have all these straps on your suit and floating around, and they just slowly sink down as gravity comes on. And then it was interesting for me, because I hadn't felt gravity for 4.5 months, for 20 weeks, and I was lying there, and we rolled out onto the runway, and I was just lying there thinking, well, this feels pretty good, and I lifted up my arm, and it was like... And I just couldn't believe it. And then someone passed me a camera, a regular 35mm camera, and I could not believe how heavy it was. I thought, how do we use these things? They're just so heavy. And then after everyone else had left the shuttle, they unstrapped me and sat me up. And I just sat forward and I thought, okay, that feels fine. And they said, all right, now we're going to turn you around like this. And they turned me around, and just all of a sudden, the cabin of the shuttle just started spinning around. And it was the weirdest sensation to feel that spin. And then we came out the hatch, and I feeling pretty good. So I thought, I'd take a couple of steps. And I just could not believe it, what the effort was required to lift up my legs to take a step. I felt like I had lead weights hanging on them. Just unbelievably ponderous. And that lasted for quite a while. And even like 2 weeks later, when I first started getting back into some jogging to get some exercise, just lifting my legs up felt so strange, really weird.
What does it feel like to, how do you drink and eat in space without it all flying around the room?
You got to be careful. That's really it. Could you give the microphone to that guy over there? He's been waiting a long time. All the foods that we have are in bags. Like the drinks are all in bags, and they have a valve on them, and you squeeze it into your mouth so that it doesn't float around. Because if you open it up, it'll just float as a cloud around you. And that was always happening. And we'd have coffee stains and things on the walls, and we'd have to go and clean them all off. Each week we did that. We'd float around the whole cabin just cleaning down the walls because stuff is everywhere. And the food's the same way. Like you open a can of stew or something, you'd have to spoon it out really carefully because it would just come up in a cloud in front of you otherwise. But you learn to do that after a while. It's just tricky, but you can learn to do it. One of the things that we had on board was a ham radio, amateur radio. And that works by line of sight, and I used that to communicate with people on the ground. And I could use that to talk to people anywhere in the world, as provided we were over the country. And it was really a great recreational tool to just come up over a country and talk to people, because people were so thrilled to talk to the space station and find out what's going on. And I did that extensively over Australia to enthusiasts like this guy and Chris Quint. Okay, sorry. And I spoke to hundreds of people over Australia on the amateur radio network, and it was really great fun talking to everybody. You need something dramatic. We didn't have anything dramatic. We didn't have a fire. We didn't have a depressurization. Besides, I haven't lived the final chapter yet.
It's sometimes said that it was a mistake to allow the Skylab to fall down.
Yeah.
Is it really necessary to bring the Mir space station down, or could it continue to be a resource for the future?
Yeah. Actually, I agree. I think it was a mistake that we lost Skylab. It was not a technical mistake. It was a political mistake. It was because the shuttle program was delayed, because Congress cut back on the funding, and the shuttle couldn't get to Skylab in time to reboost it. It was not a technical problem. It was purely a political problem. And it was really a tragedy, because it would have made a profound difference to the U.S. program to have an active space station throughout the 80s. It is really, I think, sad that Mir is going to be deorbited next year. The present plan calls for it to be deorbited in June. I think it's a resource that's going to be a pity to lose it. The reality is that the Russian Space Agency cannot afford to maintain and operate Mir as well as be a partner in the International Space Station, and that's what's driving that decision. And it is a pity. Mir will be deorbited somewhere over Australia. No, that's where the deorbit will start, to land in the southern Pacific somewhere. The ground track, though, we'll have it going down in the South Pacific, the southern Pacific, west of South America. But the deorbit, if they do it the way they're thinking, will be visible from probably Adelaide and Melbourne, and as it comes in. Now, this is going to be 100 tons coming into the atmosphere. It is probably going to be an amazing sight. So if you hear about it and get a chance, look for it. If it's daylight, it'll be visible. Believe me, it'll be visible. And it should be just an amazing sight.
Andy, would you like to go to the moon?
Yeah, I would, actually. I think it's really sad that we don't have an active moon program. In fact, if the Skylab hadn't been deorbited, I think probably we would have an active moon program, and I would think it would be just fascinating to go to the moon. I would really like to do that. I don't think it's going to happen, though.
Andy, it's a question about the, struck me as claustrophobic, conditions on board. Is this dealt with in training, or is there a sort of a psychological pre-selection of suitable types? And if you're going to Mars, could the adaptation and resilience to those conditions be stretched out to 12 or 18 months?
Yeah. Actually, the vehicle was not claustrophobic. I never felt a sense of claustrophobia. You feel a sense of confinement, but not claustrophobia. But they did train us. Those exercises I showed you in the Arctic regions, in the Soyuz, and in the Black Sea, putting the three of us in a capsule, then throwing that into the water, in that really confined space, makes you learn to accept the confinement and the claustrophobia of it. So they sort of do train you for that. I would have been quite happy to fly to Mars in the room that I had in Mir. We actually had a lot of room. I mean, there were those four modules. Each one's got about the size of a small bus, although there's a lot of stuff in there that makes it like a little tube that you work in. But there was enough room. I mean, I never felt claustrophobia on board Mir at all.
Andy,
yes.
When you sneeze, do you go backwards?
It's a bright question. That's a bright question. Yes, you would. I think perhaps people are probably getting a bit restless, so we should probably wind it down, and thank you for listening to me, and I'll be happy to stand around afterwards and talk to people if you'd like.
I just report it to me rather than yours.